He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humble with your God.
I'm reading Philippians 1:6, found on page 196. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. So today's final scripture is found in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. This can be found on page 107 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than the master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. This is the word of the Lord.
For the sermon today, we're not going to give you a true sermon, but a little bit different. We're going to share a few things from our trip. And the first thing we wanted to share was a skit that we put together. And it was inspired by one of the things we were doing every night during our small group church time. When we were at YouthWorks, we were there with a Baptist church from North Carolina and a Catholic, it was actually three Catholic churches that combined to do youth ministry in the Boston area. And so we were kind of the crazy Alaskan group. We're in between the big Catholic group and the little Baptist group in size. But anyway, you know, traveling that far with people that come from different backgrounds and sleeping on floors, sometimes with air conditioning, sometimes not so much. Excuse me. It becomes necessary to be intentional about praying for the fruits of the Spirit, praying for patience and kindness and the ability to be aware of where we are and that we're not going to be perfectly patient and kind to one another at all times. And so we started reciting and learning by heart of the fruits of the Spirit every night during church group time. And Monday night, the worship leader of the church we were staying at said, hey, on Wednesday night, you know, the whole community, the church family is going to be here. They want to hear from you. So is there anything you want to share with them during Wednesday night worship? And we said, well, we could put together a skit about the fruits of the Spirit. And we did it with intense, rigorous research, not just Google Translate, on what the fruits of the Spirit would be in Spanish. And so we'll see if you can guess which ones are which as we act them out. And I would encourage the youth to come all the way up to the stage for your and be really loud and really slow in your actions and your words. So without further ado. Love.
Whoa.
Hey. Joy. Peace of Christ. Paz de Cristo. Patience. That one should be pretty good. Kindness. Compassion. Bondad, which is just fun to say. Goodness. Fidelidad. Faithfulness, like Semper Fi, right? Dulzura, which is also fun to say. Gentleness. And also fun to say, dominio el propio. Which is?
Self-control.
All right. Sarah, do you want to lead us? Yay! Stay. So another thing we learned a few things. Learned a lot of things. What was the Spanish like? Wepa, which is kind of like a wahoo kind of a celebration thing. And we did wepas and yay gods. And so we're going to combine like wepas for God today. And each of the youth are going to say their name and one moment during the trip where they really saw God at work in them or in someone they were serving. So, yeah.
My name is Jerry. So there was these few kids that came over in the park with us, and they saw us painting and doing other stuff, so they came and helped us paint, and they played with us too. So.
3, 2, 1. Hi, my name is Carla. I was at the old people home, what was it called, Casa Matropeltiana, and that was my work site. My favorite part and where I saw God was this lady named Sophia. She was very nice, very kind. She had the biggest heart. She gave us food. She talked to us. She taught us. She was just so sweet.
My name's Eli, and one of the moments that I saw God last week was at my work site, which was a playground restoration. And it was just amazing. So, like, we had this, like, park that was pretty, like, untaken care of since the hurricane. Like, there was grass up to our hips, and it was just pretty rough looking. And after, like, 3 or 4 days of working on it and cutting grass down, kids showed up, and it was, like, they were so happy. And one of them said, actually, that they hadn't been there since the hurricane. So it was a really, like, touching moment.
One, two, three. Wave.
Hi, my name's Devin. So at the senior home, what was the name of it again? No. Yeah, that one. the residents were very welcoming. We met this guy named Camacho. He makes the best Puerto Rican coffee. He just offered us coffee, fruits, cookies, and he had music going in and just brought everyone together, and everyone just got out of their homes and just went in the hallway and just started partying and stuff. So.
One, two, three.
Huepa!
Hi, my name is Sarah. a yay god that I had throughout the week was actually the weather. It was beautiful, and 5 seconds, it was like mist, and then mist. It was cool. I never experienced it before. But one of the ways the weather affected us was on the day that the senior center was closed, Wednesday, my group and a couple other groups decided to help out at the park. And we helped out there, and we started painting and stuff, and then the mist came, and the rain came. And so we had to have a rain check on the park. So Youth Works, as always, had a second plan. And we went back, and we made cards from the senior citizens there, all in Spanish, their heart language. And the next day, we had the chance to pass them back out to the seniors and visit with them throughout the whole day, and also give them gift bags with flashlights or chapstick or pens, and explain to them how to use it in Spanish. It was very nice. One, two, three.
So my name is Kyle, and I was also one of the people that helped out at the senior home, Casa...
Yeah, Metropolitan.
Yeah.
Metropolitan House.
And on the final day, we were, you know, wrapping up painting, wrapping up helping out. And at lunch, what actually ended up happening was that a lot of the seniors made us food, and we ended up not having to eat our own packed lunches that we brought, because they all made us a nice homemade lunch, and it was a blessing. So, huepa to the residents.
One, two, three.
Huepa!
My name's Hunter, and it's not really a moment, but it's like the people there that we met, the people from like Massachusetts and North Carolina, I didn't think I'd make a connection with any of them really, because like we're only gonna be there for a week, but I made some friends that I'll probably never forget, so.
One, two, three.
Huepa!
My name is
We'll come back. Okay. My name's David, and a few quick points of information. So YouthWorks divides up the youth groups, and so every work crew that we had was part First Pres, part Boston Catholic, part North Carolina Baptist. And so it was really cool to mix with the youth and the adults from the different teams. One of our groups was serving at Casa de Metropolitana, the senior housing complex, and they got a lot of painting and cleaning and other work done, but the youth work staff kept reminding us and kept reminding the youth that, you know, the painting is good, the labor is good, but you're really here to get to know these people, to be ambassadors of Christ for them, and also for them to minister to you as well. And so you've heard some about Camacho. You might hear some more if you talk to the youth. But there were several of these seniors that were residents there who, because of the financial crisis that Puerto Rico has been burdened with for the last few years, and then to have Hurricane Maria top everything on top of that, most of those residents have zero family still on the island. Almost all of them have family that have left over the last year or two to work full-time in the lower 48 and send money back. And so these folks were very lonely, and to have young people really sit down and say, you know, praise the Lord, tell me your story, means a lot. And to have Camacho welcoming them with coffee and pastries and salsa lessons, that's pretty cool too. Another group, my group went to the park that Eli and Jerry told you about. And yeah, when we got there, it looked like a cross-section of jungle. And by the time we were done, it was a park again. And it was really powerful. There was a woman named Marianita, right? Do you want to talk about her?
She was really nice, and she like let us use her bathroom and made us treats all the time and would always bring us stuff. And she was really nice.
Yeah.
And she was also a teacher, so she, and the school board was unsure if they were going to teach, teach her class, so she had all her stuff from her classroom in her house. Mm-hmm. And when we were waiting to use the bathroom, she like gave us a little lesson, and it was really cool because she had a whole bunch of antiques and paintings and pictures and stuff.
Yeah. Marianita was a living saint. She loved the Lord, and her house was literally right next to the park. The fence that had been between her house and the park was half gone, and so we spent a lot of time talking with her, and she would translate for us if other residents of the community who didn't speak English very well came by, and she was a huge blessing, and a lot of the students were able to bless her by just getting to know her and telling her about our homes, and so that was another great, great example of God at work. Our third location where we were serving was a shelter for women and children, and it was really cool to get to know about that ministry. One of the founders of the shelter actually had he was kind of a fitness guy, and so he had opened up a gym as kind of like the front end business for the shelter, both for the benefit of the women there. They would have a chance to exercise and also to bring in money to keep the ministry going. And so we did a lot of painting and moving furniture and cleaning for that gym as well. And so those were the three main projects that we worked on. Thursday night, our last full night with YouthWorks, we hosted a big community barbecue there at the church we were staying at. And we had church members and residents of Casa de Metro and other neighbors from all over that we'd gotten to know all together for hot dogs and hamburgers and salsa music. And it was really, really beautiful. And another senior resident named Angel shared a poem that he wrote. You've heard in the news about Puerto Rico, quite a bit of the rural sections of the island in the mountains still doesn't have power. San Juan is pretty good. They've got power. We didn't even have brownouts while we were there. But the villages are still hurting and are basically without running water or electricity. But Angel, who was in San Juan, described the first several months after the hurricane when most people weren't living in their homes, most people didn't have electricity or safe, clean water, and how because of the widespread power outages, residents of San Juan in particular were able to look up and see all of the stars for the first time, and how that was both beautiful and kind of eerie. And there's a little frog called the Colqui, because it goes, Colqui, Colqui. That's the noise the frog makes. And it's kind of like a mascot of the island. And apparently for over a month after the hurricane, you could not hear the Colquis. And a large portion of the wildlife and the natural vegetation of the island was just wiped out. Some say up to 60, 70%. And so it was very disturbing for people who had lived in Puerto Rico all their lives and always heard the coqui every night and only been able to see three stars every night to suddenly have this deafening silence and this massive starscape above them in addition to every other hardship they were enduring. And so Angel, in his beautiful poem that he wrote in both Spanish and English, shares about that. And ultimately, he points to God, and he points to the goodness and the grace that is able to abound because of this hardship and through this hardship, and how his hope is that because of Maria, people's eyes will be opened to their need for God, to their need for a deeper community, and how he sees so many Christians at work bringing the community together and giving the glory to God, and he was very grateful to us for getting to be a part of that. And so thank you for also being a part of that and sending us. And we'll just give one more wepa for God. 3, 2, 1.
Wepa!
Thanks, team.
Yeah, ask David. Talk to some of these kids afterwards and all. So, and thank you guys for doing that. And as you know, you all went to serve, and that the one that you reflected was the chief servant, in that not only did he go somewhere other than his home to us, but he gave himself for us. And so what we do today is, or what we do here and now are, is to be obedient and to reflect upon this one who has come to save us and to be with us, one with us forever, taking upon himself our flesh. And so what happens here when we, yeah, if you can get the kids, what happens here is we do several things. One is we look back. If you look at the front here, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And so we remember, we reflect back to the cross of what Jesus did, his broken body, his shed blood for us, paying the price in our rebellion, in our shame, in our hiding, in our avoiding a holy God. The holy God did not avoid us, and he was not ashamed of us, but he came and bridged that gap in the person of Jesus by Jesus becoming one of us, the second person of the Trinity, who had been in perfect communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit from time immemorial, before time began, gave up his spot, took on our flesh forever, a human being now, is a part of the Godhead, which, you know, I can't explain that, but we proclaim that. And that's part of what we're remembering here, this one who came and gave himself for us. So yes, we remember. We also look forward to that great banquet feast where men and women from every tribe and tongue, people and nation are gathered around the throne proclaiming God's goodness and his what the Lamb has done for us. And we're understanding it in all those languages. And in Isaiah, there's a passage in Isaiah 25 where the prophet Isaiah says, speaks of this great banquet feast, this wedding feast of the Lamb. And he talks about the finest of meats, the best of wines, and men and women from every nation around this table for a great banquet. And that he has this, and the shroud that covered all the nations, which is death, has been rolled up and tossed away. We look forward to that in this. We proclaim this is true, and we are believing this in faith, that this is the trajectory God has for his people and for this new world that he is creating. And lastly, we remember that Christ is really present here. It is our tradition, and we that nothing changes here as far as the bread and the fruit of the vine. But in a very real way, God takes this and moves it from a very, very normal everyday use to a sacred use here. In a very real way, by faith, this would become the body and blood of Jesus for us, nourishing us in his life, in our life. So those are some things that happen here when we come and partake. This is a table that is not a Presbyterian table. It is not First Pres's table, but this is Christ's table here. And so if you are a believer, and you are welcome to this table for us. It also says that we are to kind of guard ourselves a little bit, if we're not to take this lightly. And so what that means is not that, oh, I am so burdened with my sin, I'm not worthy to take this, because that's exactly who God calls to take this meal. It is for sinners, it is for the broken, it is for that. If we have something against someone, if we're holding on to a particular, So we should check ourselves. And when we partake, we should go and make it right with the people that we hold things against. So that's what we do here. So on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And after giving thanksgiving, he said this, "This is my body which is broken for you. Feed on me." In the same way, at the end of the, after the meal, he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." The new covenant, the new agreement between God and humanity. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do celebrate my death until I come again." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us this meal and you've given us yourself in it. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take this and make these very normal things and set them apart for very sacred use. They might become the very body and blood of Jesus Christ for us by faith. We ask this in Christ's name.